yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Lift up both hands, say in the name of Jesus, I command chains to break. I break and destroy every chain, every shackle, every yoke. In the name of Jesus, be destroyed. Break. Be destroyed. Command it now to break in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke. Break every chain. Break every shackle in the name of Jesus. Now, lift it up. Say, I command embargoes be lifted. 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 Say, I destroy every limit and restriction and setback in the atmosphere, in the house. We cancel by the blood of Jesus. Cancel it now. We cancel setbacks. We cancel setbacks. We cancel defeat. Cancel failure. Setback of any kind, shape or form. Be canceled by the blood of Jesus. We cancel it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lift it up. Say, we cancel defeat by the blood of Jesus. We cancel defeat. Say, no defeat, no defeat. Say, no defeat by the blood of Jesus. No defeat whatsoever. Cancel every defeat. The name of Jesus. Now, lastly, let's arrest the spirit of mockery. Mockery. Put your hands together. Arrest mockery. Any form of mockery, any kind of mockery, disappointment, mockery, be arrested, be arrested, be arrested, be arrested in the name of Jesus Christ. Be arrested. We arrest mockery. Cancel every spirit of mockery, failure, disappointment. Be canceled in the name of Jesus. Lift it up. Holy Ghost, do it again. Yeah.
Do it again in my life. Open my eyes to see.
Shout, just love somebody, hug somebody, welcome somebody. That is what church is all about. Hallelujah. Amen. The shout of the king is in the house. Are you clapping? Are you excited? You are not. You will knock the devil out this week. You will knock demons out this week. It's a knockout month. Lift up your hands. Father, wherever Isaac is, empower him, protect him, prosper him and his father and the family. Bring him back to us safe, protect him all over his travels and journeys in America, and help him to maintain the title in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together. God pray. I want to talk to you about a subject entitled The Blood Still Speaks. And on Wednesday, we'll be talking to you about the seven things you must confess daily about the blood of Jesus. The seven things you must confess about the blood of Jesus on a daily basis. Then we are going to be teaching on a principle that causes anyone, believer or unbeliever, to go to the top if you practice it. And it's in the book of Proverbs. I won't tell you what it is. You can linger and maneuver. I won't tell you until Wednesday. There is a principle that if you practice it, it doesn't matter what field you are in life, you will go to the top. It works for everybody, believers, unbelievers. And all the billionaires I have studied and read of all practice this principle. And some of them don't know it's in the book of Proverbs, and others know. But it works for everybody, no matter what field you are in. If you practice that principle, you go to the top. And whenever you see anybody at the top of whatever they are doing, they are practicing a particular principle. It's in the book of Proverbs. And, amen. Warren Buffett said something as part of the principles. They asked him, how come you are so successful all the time in business? He bought Tomato Ketchup, that business, Heinz, for $20 billion. He invested in Coca-Cola. Anything he invests and put his money in makes it big time. And it's part of the principle we'll be teaching you on Wednesday. He said, when the market is bad, everybody is running from the market, run to the market. And when the market is good and everybody is running to the market, get out. It's in the book of Proverbs. It's in Ecclesiastes. If you consider the wind, you will not sow. Tell somebody, everything is in the book. Tell somebody, when the market is bad and everybody is running from the market, run to the market. And when the market is good and everybody is running to the market, get out. You didn't get it. You would have been clapping and shouting right now. Because when the market is bad, that is where everybody holds back. Everybody is hoarding. Everybody is sitting tight. Everybody is keeping the little they have. And everybody is afraid to move. And he said, that is when I make my moves. And when everybody is making their moves, I hold back. Some of you, you'll get it a year from today. Tell somebody, the blood still speaks. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine, he has given unto us.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life
that
and
pertains
godliness.
To
life
that
and
pertains
godliness.
To
life
and
godliness.
Through
the knowledge of him.
Through
the knowledge.
That word knowledge of him there means prognosis in Greek. It's a higher level of knowledge. Look at me. Tell somebody the difference between where you are. Go ahead.
The difference between where
and where you must be is between knowledge and ignorance. It's your ignorance that is keeping you from where you must be, and it's also the lack of knowledge or the knowledge you need to get you there. You know, I was trying to call somebody the other day and I couldn't find the number. And I said, but the number is in my phone. So Joel said to me, he said, there's a button on this side of your phone. He was then out of the country. And he said, press it and speak to the phone and tell the phone, call me so, so and so. And I said, you mean my phone can do that? I said, yes, your phone can do that. So I said, okay. I said, are you sure? He said, Papa, it works. So I pressed the thing and I said, call me so, so and so. And the phone called the person. And I said, you mean this phone can do this? And I'm struggling. So from that day, I said the other day, I'm going to tell the phone, call me Donald Trump, I need to talk to you. It's serious, the phone can do some things. And I have this walkie-talkie we use, you know, it's a security line we use. And the other day, Joel called me again and he said, I'm going to call you, but I'm pressing a button and I'm disconnecting everybody else, so it will just be you and I. I said, you mean you can? He said, yes, we can do that. So he said, press this thing. So I pressed and he called me and he said, we can talk. It's just us. And I said to myself, you know something? Ignorance is killing us. And I realized that I have this gadget that can do a lot of things and I'm struggling. And I'm ignorant. You are looking at me. You too, you are ignorant of something. I'm talking about mine. You are looking like you are enlightened. You are not enlightened about everything. Something is beating you somewhere. I'm telling you, everybody is suffering from some deficiency. Everybody has issues. So don't look at me with that one and say, so you don't know the phone can do that. You too, you don't know something. So don't make me look, I'm the only ignorant person here. You too, you are ignorant of something. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible says you err. Because you know not the scriptures, not the power of God. And my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. It's the lack of what we don't know that is killing us. A lot of things are killing us. These days people come to me and when you walk into my office, I have a hand sanitizer that everybody that walks into my office, you must clean your hand, sanitize your hand before I shake you. If you don't, I won't shake you. I don't care who you are. You know, I went to a dinner somewhere in Africa here, in another country. And I was with the president, his vice, and the family and everything, cabinet minister. It was a very high-level thing. And I was watching something. The president and the vice and the wife, they went shaking everybody. I don't want to mention the name of the country because of this internet and social media. When it was time for us to eat, I was sitting opposite of the president, and the wife was sitting next to him, the vice was on this side, everybody was there. And they started serving the starter soup, and then they brought bread. And everybody started breaking the bread, including the president, and they haven't sanitized their hands, including the president. And I said to myself, so all these people around the president and his wife are playing with the life of this man? That after he has shaken all kinds of people's hands, they didn't give him hand sanitizer to sanitize his hands. And he's breaking the bread and he's eating. And I said, we love to be cared for, but we haven't learned how to care for the things and for the people who care about us. We want to be taken care of, but we don't take care of the people who take care of us. And that is the problem in our society. It is said that bacteria, and one of the things that spreads bacteria than anything else, is handshaking. Handshakes. Handshakes. And you know where it comes from? Counting money. Money carries a lot of germs. This thing called money. Money. That every one of you is working for. And you act like you don't like money, but tomorrow morning by 5 you are up. And the traffic everywhere is because everybody is chasing money. But they say, I'm going to work. It's not true. It's money. Money. Cell phones. Cell phones carries a lot of germs. Cell phones. Then your car. Car keys. And the door. And the house door. The office door. The handle. They all carry bacteria. So these days, I don't shake. I do this. Give me some power. And do you know, even the water we bath with, the water we bath with, germs can enter your pores. The water we bath with. And we brush with. Pipe water, you don't have to brush with it. You brush with bottled water. You are looking at me. You can call me germ free, whatever. But I'm telling you what is killing us is ignorance. There are people, they use the washroom and they do number two. Not number one, number two. Even number one is dangerous. Much more number two. And they don't wash with soap. They don't wash with soap. They just wash with water. Then they come and shake you. The kitchen where we cook, your cooks and the people who handle food, your glass, you don't wash spoons, forks, knives, plates with cold water. You wash it with hot water. You can't go to the kitchen. I told my cook daughter, I said, you can't come home. You can't come from the house with the same dress and enter into my kitchen with the same dress. You are bringing bacteria into the kitchen. I'm telling you, if you don't, if you think I'm fooling around, ask doctors. They'll tell you, you are carrying bacteria. You sat in the taxi and in the trotro next to all kinds of people. Then you come and you enter the kitchen with that same dress. You are bringing bacteria. You change into something different that hasn't gone to the public, kept in the office, and you come and you change. You remove that one before you enter the kitchen. Then when you enter the kitchen, you need gloves in your hands. Then you cover your head. You don't know what I'm telling you. I went to check up some few months ago, and when they did my DNA test, they saw a lot of bacteria in my blood. So I told them, trace the cause. When they traced the cause, it was sad. Simple handshakes, bacteria, handshakes, money, water, drinks, food. They brought me some shito the other day, and there was fungus in the shito. And they brought it to me. And one of my sons saw the fungus and said, Papa, look into it. So I called the cook and I said, why? You want to kill me softly? And do you know, one of the greatest cure to cancer, two things, greatest cures to cancer or things that prevents cancer, one of them is coconut water because it's alkaline. Alkaline. And you can't develop cancer if your body is alkaline. And one of the things that prevents cancer is coconut water. And we have a lot here and we won't drink it. We are drinking Coke and soda. 24 carats of sugar in Coke and in soda. But we won't drink coconut water and it's alkaline. Then there's another thing that prevents cancer in the human body. And you can't find it in America. It's in Ghana. They call it Alugwin Tungwi. Now, I know you are laughing because you are typical African, so you are looking at me some way. You can't get it in America. I went to a medical treatment center. And when they did the test, they asked me, and they couldn't mention Alugun Tungwi. So they showed me the picture, the green thing, with all those spots and things behind it. And if you like, Google it and see. You will see what Alugun Tungwi does. It's amazing. And we have it here. And we don't know about it. So I'm using all this to tell you that it's your ignorance that is killing you. I was talking to a billionaire friend of mine. I brought him around by the tent here. And I was talking about some idea I had. And he was telling me, that idea you have is money. So don't share it with anybody. And I said, why? He said, if you share it with somebody, they'll take it from you. And they'll make money. So I said, what do I do? He said, this is how you handle it. And he showed me what to do. And he said, before you share this idea with anybody, let them sign this and sign that and sign that to protect you. Other than that, you are giving away money. And most of the millionaire friends I have, they've never given me money. They don't give you money. They give you keys. They give you ideas. When, hear me, all the billionaires you hear about, Bill Gates, it wasn't money that gave Bill Gates money. It was an idea he had. And when he put the idea to use, money followed him. He did not pray for money. He didn't fast for money. The fasting and the prayers will bring an idea. The idea, when it's executed, will cause money to follow you. Tell somebody, do you know you are sitting on money? You. Tell somebody, do you know you are a potential trillionaire? Trillionaire, you. Tell somebody, you. You are a potential trillionaire. But the reason why you are broke, I tell my pastors when they say they don't have money, I look at them and I say, lack of money is lack of new ideas. Whenever you lack ideas, you'll be broke. Anybody with money had an idea and met a need. The doctor is relevant, and you pay any money to the doctor when you are sick. When you have a problem, the lawyer becomes relevant. He will charge you anything and you pay when you are in trouble. There is a parable in tree that Abuano said, when an animal is trapped, when you set a trap for an animal and it catches the trap, the leg of the animal is in the trap, it cries differently. And when the leg is out, it's a different cry. So when the leg is in the trap and it's crying, when the leg is out of the trap, that is it. All right. I'm using all of this to establish a fact that everything that you and I need that pertains to living right and well, and everything that you need that pertains to successful spiritual life and godly life is already available. But it comes through the knowledge. It comes what? It comes what? Tell somebody the blood still speaks. Tell somebody the blood of Jesus still speaks today. It does. And healing belongs to the children. The provision for our healing and health is provided. Justification, sanctification, forgiveness of sin, purity, holy, everything we need is available, but it is not automatic. Tell somebody, what is written is not automatic. You have to appropriate, engage, apply before it works. By his stripes, we were healed. Were we healed? If we were, then we are. Turn to somebody and say, why are you feeling those joint pains? You. Tell someone, say, why are you sick? You are sick somewhere. You look beautiful, handsome, but you are sick somewhere. Let's face it. Why? If you are healed, why are you sick? The provision is there, but you got to work it. The Bible says, and her, as long as he differeth nothing from a child, he is subjected to tribunes, to government, to governors. Why? Because he's a child. What does it mean? You haven't come of age. You haven't come to the place of maturity. You are not skillful enough to be given the right to what is yours. Everything we need till we get out of here, physically and spiritually, is already provided. How do you get to it? You get to it by understanding and knowledge of it. Other than that, you can't have it. Gold is not gold until it goes through fire. Your value at the marketplace is determined by the process you were subjected to. The difference between the Ranger and I have some few Navy SEALs, friends of mine, when I'm in America, they protect me. They take me to meetings and everything. And these Navy SEALs are very dangerous people. I was in America recently, had a meeting with our president and everything, and we were in a place. When they were taking me into the elevator, the lift, they dismantled some things in the lift. Then when they were taking me out, whilst I was in the lift, they said, excuse me, sir, and they started fixing some things in the lift, and I saw where they opened, and I said to myself, these guys are very dangerous. And they are very, very dangerous people. They can kill you like that. Simple, they can kill you without without any weapon. They press certain part of your body, some place around your neck, and boom, you are gone. That kind of training, that before they are pronounced a seal, you are subject to some dangerous training. It's the process and the exercises that determine your placement. You are going through spiritual exercises that will make you a spiritual Navy SEAL and a very dangerous individual. Look at somebody and say, you don't know me. Wait till I finish my training and exercises. Oh, you would have clapped and put your hands together and thank God for God. Now come with me to Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
So how do we overcome?
By the
blood. Talk to me. How many of you want victory in your life on a daily basis? How many of you want to overcome something? You need to overcome something. Look at somebody and say, then you need the blood. You need the blood. That's why you need to engage the blood. You need to apply the blood. You need to appropriate the blood on daily basis. Say daily basis, daily basis. It's an ongoing thing. So the blood is there. The blood is available, but it doesn't work automatically. You have to learn how to engage it, how to apply the blood by the word of their testimony. What is the word of their testimony? That's what I'm telling you, show you on Wednesday. You must learn how to speak and confess and say what the Bible says the blood of Jesus has done and does in the life of the believer. If you don't speak to what the scripture says the blood has done, the enemy won't back off. When the devil came to Jesus to tempt him three times, what did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And the Bible says, and the devil what? Leaveth him for a season. If you want the devil to leave you, you have to know the scriptures. You know not. You err because you know not the scripture. So the more scripture you know, and the more you apply the scriptures you know, the devil will leave you. He will leave you for a season and give you a breathing space. How many of you need some breathing space to? Come on, somebody. You need a breathing space. You know, sometimes you can get weary. You can get tired. Oh, yeah. Sometimes I get battle weary. Sometimes I just get tired and I don't feel like preaching. I don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like seeing you. I just feel like minding my own business. But that is feelings. You can't depend on that. Sometimes I just want to misbehave. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just want to wear a shorts, a white shorts, a white, you know? And then I want to go to the beach. I want to go to Labadi Beach, you know? And I just want to walk around with a hat on and just, you know, take it cool, take it easy. Tell somebody you can't do it. Let the president try and go to Labadi Beach Saturday morning or Sunday morning wearing a short, you know, without security. Nobody, just him alone, Mr. President, and the wife, just having a cool time. Everybody will rush there. By the time they finish taking pictures with him, he will be slain under the power. At a level and at a point, there are some things you can't do. That's why Paul said, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. So if they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, you also need the blood to overcome. Say, I need the blood of Jesus to overcome on a daily basis. Psalm 107 verse 2. Quickly.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy.
How many of you believe you have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy? You do? Then tell somebody, you must say it. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians, he said, according as we believe, they spoke, we also believe, and therefore we speak. Therefore we speak. If you believe, you must see it. Tell somebody, you either believe or you don't believe. That's it. There's nothing like that. You either believe or you don't. Say you either believe or you don't believe. Oh, come on, talk to me. If you believe, then you have to say it. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Let the Redeemer of the Lord, who he has redeemed from the hand of, do what? Now look at it.
We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken.
We also
believe, therefore, and therefore speak.
Therefore we keep quiet. Therefore we say nothing. If you believe, what will you do? Do you believe you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? From the hand of the enemy? Then say so. When do you say so? Every day. So, why do you have to say so? You must remind yourself and remind the devil. You remind yourself and remind the enemy. If you are a prisoner and you've been discharged and a policeman sees you and says, hey, you are a prisoner. Were you not sentenced and jailed? What are you doing here? You tell him, sir, I'm free. I've been dispatched and discharged and acquitted. I'm out of prison. You have to say so. Tell two people, say so. Again, the problem with us is that we believe, but we don't speak what we believe. The Bible said with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, but with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. So it's not enough to believe in the heart. You must confess. You must say so. Tell somebody, say so. Go back again. Go back again. Having what?
The same spirit of faith.
Faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I
spoken.
We also believe, and therefore
we speak.
Therefore,
speak.
Therefore,
speak.
Therefore,
we speak.
I will not die.
I will live.
But live. And what? Declare the works of the Lord. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let the Redeemer of the Lord, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, say by the blood of redemption, say by the blood of my redemption, I command my unconditional release from the hand of any enemy in my father's house, in my mother's house. I command the unconditional release of my loved ones, my sons and my daughters, my grandchildren, my children, my loved ones. I command the deliverance and the unconditional release of my loved ones and everyone that concerns me from the hand of the enemy, from the hand of the enemy, from the hand of the enemy, in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you believe it? Say it. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Your children shall be established in righteousness. Believest thou it? Confess it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And you are struggling with sin, confess it. You have to keep saying what the scripture says until it happens in your life. It is not automatic. You have to work at it. It is work. Put your hands together. Shout yes. Hebrews quickly. Hebrews 12:24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant.
The new covenant. Tell somebody you have a covenant with God. Tell somebody, God has a covenant with you. God has a covenant with you. Go ahead, look at it.
And to the blood of sprinkling.
The blood of sprinkled.
That speaketh better things than that of Abel.
The blood speaks forgiveness. It speaks mercy and pardon. It speaks pardon of iniquity. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities and healeth all thy diseases? Forgiveness of all iniquities and healing of all our diseases. Who redeemed thy life from destruction, crowned thee with loving kindness, who satisfies your mouth with good things, and reneweth thy youth like an eagle. Wow! It's not enough to read it. It's not enough to read it. You have to what? Say it. If you believe it, if you believe it, if you believe it, because confession brings Confession brings. Proverbs 6:2. You see, I have to teach this thing because some of you believers, I hear some believers will say something like, I just want to crash. So a believer will be traveling and say, as soon as I arrive, I'm just going to check into my hotel and crash. And you are going to fly. And I'm talking about crash. Somebody said, I'm tired. I wish I died. You wish you died? God does not deliver us from our friends. He delivers us from our enemies. Listen, death doesn't need an invitation. He wants you already. So don't give it in an invitation. Go ahead. Thou art snared
with the words of thy mouth.
The words of somebody's mouth?
No.
By whose mouth?
Your own mouth.
You see, thou art taken
by, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth.
Uh-huh. You are
snared and taken.
You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken. That means captive. You are a captive of what you say with your mouth, your own words. And sometimes when you hear the words of believers and the things we say, it's very scary. Now, I'm not saying you should lie when you are feeling down. Sometimes people ask me, Baba, how are you doing? I said, I'm fighting, but I'm winning. Simple. I'm fighting. It's true, but I'm winning. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, Papa, you don't look good. I said, I'm having some strange feelings and emotions. My feelings, my emotions are bizarre, but I am on top of it. And that's why the Bible said the righteous falleth 7 times, and 7 times he rises up again. So every now and then you can go down, but you don't stay there. You come up. I was telling somebody, between a wise man and an intelligent person, I said, I prefer being wise than being smart. I hear people say, I'm very smart, but I want and prefer to be wise than smart. And I tell the difference between being smart and being wise. Being smart is learning the skills of how to perform and go through the motions. But being wise is knowledge you acquire based on what you have survived, learned, and been through. So to be smart, you can do something and know how to get away with it so you are not caught. But a wise man won't go through it. A wise man will say, no, I know the consequence of this thing. Even though I can get out of it, I won't do it. That's why he said that it was good for me that I was afflicted. Why? Because it has made me wiser, not smart. You see, somebody smart will know how to maneuver and dodge and hide behind this thing. But somebody that is wise know that even though you dodge and you hide behind this thing, every day for thief man, one day. So don't just be smart, be wise. Tell somebody, don't be smart, be wise. Amen. The blood that speaketh, even though it speaks, you have to engage it. You know, sometimes I hear people say, you know, I was somewhere and your name came up and people were saying all kinds of things and I have to speak for you and defend you. And I look at them and I say, thank you. But next time when you hear people speaking and saying things about me, don't defend me. Don't say anything. And he said, why? I said, there is a blood that answers for me. There is a blood that speaks for me. And I keep engaging that blood every day. And there is a prayer I pray all the time. And this is the prayer. I say, Lord, for those who speak ill of me, and for the tongue and for the voices that speak ill of me to discredit and to undermine me, whoever they are, wherever they are, on the face of the earth, in the regions of the underworld, let their voices and their tongues be silenced. Yet let those voices be discredited. Let them be disfavored. Let their honors be turned into dishonor and their favors into disfavor. Yet replace and take their place. And there's another one I pray. I said, Lord, for those who wish me ill and they scheme and devise devices to hurt me and to silence my voice, let their dwellings and address and habitation be taken from the living to the land of the dead. If you are not wishing me harm or evil, it doesn't apply to you. But if I'm minding my business and I'm sitting somewhere and for whatever reason you don't like me, you know, I was talking to Kwame Jantua of CPP. That is my father's party, so it's my party. I was telling Kwame, you people, you are embarrassing me. That's why they think I belong to this party and that party. Why don't you just win one election for me so people will start believing me? That is why they don't believe that I don't belong to any of these parties, because my party never wins. I said, you are losing too much. Win small. And at least win one time that I can celebrate. I haven't celebrated for many years. Because you don't win elections. You know? But it's not good to go around wishing people ill. Don't do it. Tell somebody, it's not good. It's not good. And it's not everybody you wish ill. You know, I was telling them the other day, and because we are in Ghana, there are some things I don't want to say, because Ghanaians, we are very different people. You know, even when you are giving testimony, they think you are bluffing. Who does he think he is? Nigerians celebrate good things. Nigerians celebrate success. Ghanaians, we don't. Ghanaians, we like good things, but we are afraid to celebrate it. We do. I know some Ghanaians outside, and if you see where they live outside, you'll be shocked. But over here, me pay me once and money, Sunny. Let me mind my own business. A society that don't know how to celebrate, and you see, we have to get to a place where everybody who succeeds is not corrupt. We have to be very careful. Because if we are not careful, if everybody that makes it is corrupt, then we'll have a society of poor people. Nobody will be rich in this country because everybody who gets something is corrupt. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't check corruption or check how people make it. But I think we should focus on how we can encourage people to make it. Like somebody was telling me the other day that one of the ways they discover the fake or counterfeit dollar, they teach the people so much about the real dollar that as soon as they see the counterfeit, they know it. So we have to develop a society where we create an atmosphere for Ghanaians, irrespective of their background, political persuasions or culture, whatever, or tradition. We must create an atmosphere for Ghanaians to flourish. And not just foreigners, not just strangers. Every Ghanaian must succeed. And when they succeed, they are paying their taxes and doing the right thing, they should be able to enjoy it. And we should create an atmosphere to encourage Ghanaians who make it and work hard and succeed to enjoy. We should stop trying to, and I'm not talking, don't misunderstand me, okay? Those, and especially let me speak to the media and those of you in government and in politics, and don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking to government, and I'm not talking about politicians. I'm talking about Ghanaians as a citizen, we are society. I'm talking about Ghanaians. That let's begin to have a mentality that creates wealth. And let's also accept people when they make it the right way to enjoy their wealth without antagonizing people and making people afraid of enjoying what they have. Because as soon as we see one Ghanaian making it, you know, listen, I watch CNN. Do you know how many Nigerians or Nigerian banks advertise on CNN? A lot of them, about 6 or 7 of Nigerian banks. And all these Nigerians advertising on CNN, and nobody goes after them to say, let's investigate them. I'm not saying we shouldn't investigate people who are wrong. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't deal with corruption. That's not what I'm saying. So please get me out of that category. Don't put me in a category where I don't have the freedom to speak truth to situation I feel passionate about. The Constitution gives me right to speak. I am talking about us as citizens. There is not one Ghanaian on CNN. Not one Ghanaian on CNN. When you see Ghanaians on CNN, they are interviewing. I mean, they've done well and everything. But I'm talking about some of these Nigerian Charlie, they are mega. Hey, you know, mega. Big boys, deep pockets. Now, as for how they made it, I can't tell. I'm not talking about how they made it. That one is up to them and God and conscience and society, whatever. But I'm just talking that it's just nice and good to see some of our own brethren, black like you and I, achieving something. And that is not only the wise man, the white man that can do it, that black people can also do it. So I'm not talking about we shouldn't check corruption, but I'm saying that check corruption, but let's also create an atmosphere that is conducive for Ghanaians, whether they are doctors, they are lawyers, they are engineers, they are computer science, they are whatever, that they can prosper, flourish, and enjoy their money and celebrate it. I mean, when people do weddings these days, people talk, hey, you should see the wedding. Shreno, see the display. Even funerals, when there are funerals and people care and they come, hey, you should see the funerals. The amount of cars that were there, the kinds of people who attended the funeral. So you don't, when people die and friends and loved ones go mourning, you say, hey. When somebody does wedding, you say, hey. So what do you want people to do again? Come on, talk to me. I mean, are we all not Ghanaians? Talk to me. So what should we do? You know, I was talking to one of my sons the other day about his wedding. I said, Charlie, you know what we should do? Maybe we should just come to my office. Let's just bless the marriage. Then Sunday morning we are now. So and so, see, Masi has married. Oh, period. He said, Papa, let us not even do reception. Let's give them bottles of water. And then they will say that, aha, when we went to the wedding, can you believe what they get? Bottle of water. Don't we have water in our house to drink? So at the end of the day, just be yourself. That is it. You know, a story was told about a man from Legon, riding on a horse, and the son was walking. When he got to Tetekwashi, his friend saw him and said, hey, you're a wicked man. You are riding on the horse and your son is walking. Why? So he said, son, sit on the horse. I will walk. When they got to airport runabout, his friends met him and said, hey, wicked man, useless. Old man, your son is sitting on the horse and you are walking. What kind of a father are you? So he said to the son, you know, let's ride together. So together they jumped behind the back of the horse. When they got to, they ran about at 37. When his friends said, hey, wicked man, you and your son, you are riding on this mall, you want to kill the horse? So he said to the son, you know something? Let's get off the horse. Let's walk. When they got to Sankara Circle, then his friend said, what is wrong with you? Are you that foolish? You are walking with your son. Why don't you ride on the horse? So he said to the son, you know something? Whatever we do, people will talk. So let's do what gives us peace. That's it. Tell somebody, that is all. put your hands together and say, that is Saul. People will talk. But it's too much in the Ghanaian society. And whether we live in Ghana or outside, when I live in America, I don't honor invitation to Ghanaian churches. I don't. I stop. I don't go to Ghanaian churches. They'll invite you to come and preach for them. Then the first thing they'll tell you, Papa, please, we our finances, we can't pay our bill, we need money to build. They talk. So you raise money for them. I say, Papa, when you raise money, we'll try and help pay your ticket, we'll do something. As soon as you finish raising the money for them, they'll say, Papa, you know, thank you. This money that I've come, we have a lot of bills to pay. And if we don't pay our board, next time when you come, we'll help you with your ticket. Yeah. And then when you talk, they start spreading lies. All he likes is money. He's money, money, money. So these days when they invite me, I say, no, I'm sorry. I can't come. And some places when I go, they say, Papa, can you? And I say, no. I don't feel the anointing to raise money. So when I finish preaching, the place will be charged. Then they'll whisper, Papa, this is a good time. Can you tell them? And I say, no. The anointing to raise money is not there. I don't feel it. Even I don't. The anointing is lifted. So I give them the microphone and I go and sit down. I don't want anybody to use me anymore. The same people, they will stab you at the back. So I stopped preaching for them. I went to a place in Amsterdam. I stayed in a hotel. And a Nigerian lady came and said, I hear you are Archbishop Duncan Williams from Ghana. I said, yes. He said, pray for your people. I said, why? He said, two Ghanaian ladies fought here. And one of them went and reported to the authorities that all the Ghanaians who work there don't have papers. So the authorities came and ransacked everybody, husbands and wives. They left the home, their home with their children, dropped them at school, went to work and didn't come back home. They arrested everybody, deported them to Ghana. And the lady that went and reported was given a stay. I mean, how can you sleep? How can you sleep over that? And it's with Ghanaians, I'm telling you. I went to Singapore. And I visited a professor high in Singapore University, a Ghanaian. And he said to me, he said, Archbishop, you and Kwabena Dakun are the only Ghanaians that have been to my house. And I said, why? He said, if the Ghanaians in Singapore, Malaysia, or Hong Kong come and see this house and what I have, I will lose my job. So I don't invite Ghanaians to my house. I'm sorry, I'm a Ghanaian, but it hurts. I was in Boston preaching, and I made an altar call for people who need jobs to come forward. And a lot of people came forward. Now, the guy who was driving me around in Boston, he's in a very high position in a multi-million company. So when he was taking me to his hotel, I said, Wafa, you have all this connection. Why don't you get some of these people jobs? They are struggling. He said, Papa, you don't understand. You don't know. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I got some of them jobs from the church. And I showed them how to rise through the rank. And they went and reported me to my superior. I almost lost my job. So me too, I vow that as for my people, I will help them. I'll give them money. But I won't arrange for them to get a job where I work. They can find a job somewhere else, but not where I work. Turn to somebody and say, it's a national demon. Tell somebody it's an epidemic. No. Tell them it's a plague. It's a pestilence. Exodus 12:13.
And the blood shall be on you. Sorry, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house.
A token upon thy house. May the blood of Jesus rest upon the walls of your house. Your windows, your gates, and your doors. Your lanterns, let the blood of Jesus be a sign and a mark. And in the day when evil comes to your area, let them pass over you in the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
And when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Uh-huh.
And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
You see, there's plagues. in the land. There's a plague in the land. But the difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians was one thing. It was then the knowledge of the blood and the lack of knowledge of the blood. If any Egyptian had applied the blood to their doorposts and lanterns, their firstborn wouldn't have died. Because the command was to whoever heard it. It wasn't just to the children of Israel, but whoever heard it, if they had applied the blood, the angel of death wouldn't say, oh, this blood is covering the house of an Egyptian. He said, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, may the blood be a mark and a sign for you. Exodus 20, 12, 22 and 23. Quickly, let's finish.
And he shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel of and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you.
May the blood of Jesus cover you and your house. May the blood of Jesus cover this nation. May the blood cover our economy. Let the blood cover leadership. May the blood cover the president. May the blood of Jesus cover this land and this nation from the plague of destruction. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But hear me, it's not enough to just hear it. You must engage the blood. You must appropriate the blood. You must apply. Here, he said the blood was, where was the blood? In what?
The basin.
Talk to me. The blood was where?
In the basin.
And what happened? The angel of death did not pass their homes or their dwellings because the blood was in a basin. They had to use hyssop, put it in the blood and apply the blood. You can have money in the bank and you can be in need of money. If you don't go to the bank and withdraw the money, you can die. I was told somebody, true story happened in Walmart. He was in the session of soda, the water and the soda session, and he died out of dehydration. Do you hear what I said? He was in the water and soda session of Walmart and died out of dehydration. All he should have done is to open one bottle and run to the place and say, I drank the water, this is the bottle I'm paying. He died. You can have soap and water in your house and still stink. Did you hear what I said? You can have what? And still, if you don't apply the soap and the water to your body and say, I have soap, I have water. Having soap and water is not enough. Having the scriptures and the word of God and the promises about the blood is not enough. You must engage the blood. And in the days and times we live in, like never before, we need to engage the blood of Jesus. We need to apply the blood of Jesus. We need to sing about the blood like never before. You know, after the 1,000 women coming to pray, our next prayer meeting with the 1,000 willing women is the 12th of May. So please keep that. If you're a woman, how many of you were here yesterday? Wave at me. How many of you? Okay. How many were not here? Stand on your feet. Women that were not here yesterday. No, stand. If you're a woman and you weren't here yesterday, will you please stand? Why do you have to lie? Lying too is a sin. So please, don't lie. All right. Be seated. But please come on the 12th, okay? This concerns women. It's very important. There's a hatred between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. We'll be looking at that on the 12th. So when there is war, women suffer the most and children. It's always women. You know, I was being told about a true story that happened, that some armed robbers went to this house and attacked a couple, a husband and a wife, and told the man that they either rape your wife or we kill you. And the man and the wife agreed that they should rape the woman. And after raping the woman, the man decided to leave her because the armed robber said, you have to show us some style in the front of your husband. So after they left, the husband said, hey, so you know all these styles and you haven't done it for me. And the wife said, but I did it for you to save your life. And he said, no, I don't want you anymore. True story. It looks some way, but it's nothing but wickedness of the highest order. What they are doing to women is not good. And it has to stop. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's evil. It's a plague. It's a pestilence. It has to stop. Please stand on your feet. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, you when I see the blood, you lift up your hands, sing it now.
See the blood.
Somebody sing.
When I see the blood.
When I
see the blood. I will pass.
Overcame by the blood of the Lamb, you and I will also overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The overcoming power of the blood of the Lamb, the victorious power of the blood of the Lamb. Today, I want every believer to pray that God will give you victory by the blood, that you will triumph by the blood, that you have the upper hand by the blood, that you will break through by the blood of Jesus, that your dwellings, your walls, your windows, your house will break through by the blood. That anyone that will plan evil against you and your house, that through the blood of Jesus it will backfire. Anybody that takes your picture or your children's picture, your loved one's picture, anywhere for evil, that by the blood of Jesus it will backfire. Open your mouth, engage the blood. Engage the blood of Jesus. Engage the blood. Deploy the blood of Jesus. Activate the blood. Don't hold your peace. Don't keep silent. Let the blood speak. Let the blood speak. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. Hear me? Tell somebody there is victory through the blood of Jesus. Whatever victory you desire and you need, you can have it through the blood of Jesus. And number two, we can overturn any evil and any impending or imminent danger against us, this house, your dwelling, and this nation. We can overturn it through the blood of Jesus. So right now, we appropriate the victory of the blood of Jesus. We overturn any imminent danger and evil they have devised against you, your house, and this nation. Any advantage the enemy has to turn the clock of Ghana back, to prevent this nation from going forward through our own pettiness and attitude and devices, let the blood of Jesus overturn it. Let the blood of Jesus overturn it. Anyone here that has been targeted to be attacked, to be hurt, to be destroyed. You know, I was told that yesterday or so, a few days ago, that there was a kidnapping of a child in Kwashiman. Anyone that has been targeted for evil, let the blood of Jesus overturn it. There is something about the blood of Jesus. The overcoming blood is the superior power over every other power. When the blood of Jesus was shed, the walls, the rocks, mountains, they shook and they cracked. The grave opened up. The earth shook when the blood touched the air. You can't mess with the blood of Jesus. Anybody that is messing with us, let the blood of Jesus mess with them. Anybody that is coming after us, let the blood of Jesus go after them. Put your hands together, employ the blood, deploy the blood, engage the blood to overturn any evil and any attack on your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, your family. Let the blood of Jesus cover. Let the blood of Jesus protect. Engage the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. Take it higher. Take it higher. Take it higher, take it higher. Take it higher, take it higher, take it higher. Put your hands together. Take it higher, take it higher. Engage the blood. Appropriate the blood. Apply the blood. Clean the blood. Deploy the services of the blood of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus work. Let the blood of Jesus intervene. Let the blood of Jesus speak and answer for you. Let the blood of Jesus speak and answer for you. Come on, put it together. Let the blood of Jesus speak. One prayer before I pray for you. One prayer. This is a prayer. Any advantage the enemy is working with, any advantage the enemy has over us as individual, over our families, over this nation, over the economy, over the leadership of this nation, over the president, any advantage Satan is using as a vetoing power, let the blood of Jesus veto it. We veto any vetoing powers of Satan by the blood of Jesus. Let any advantage he's holding over your head and my head, over this house and your house, over our finances and over this nation and the leadership of this nation, by the blood of Jesus, which is the superior blood, we veto and we deny and strip the enemy of any advantage he's working with. Put your hands together. Use the blood of Jesus. Cancel, deny, strip the enemy. There are more things we'll be dealing with, but tomorrow and Tuesday, Wednesday is our 72 hours prayer and fasting because it's the first week of the month. But there is a financial door. There's a financial door between now and the end of May. There's a financial door. I want us to secure it and declare that there will be no sabotage nor interference. Let that financial door be secure. It's between now and the end of May. There is a financial breakthrough coming for you. Tell God you will remember the church. Put your hands together. Secure that door. Use the blood. Use the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth. Use the blood of Jesus. Let every financial door and gates be secure between now and the month of May and the end of the month of May. Secure it. Open your mouth. Secure that door. Secure that door. Yourself, your husband, your wife, your loved ones, this house, this nation. Secure that door. Secure that door by the blood of Jesus. Secure that door. Secure that door. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Secure that door. Now, do something. I want you to stand with three, four, or two people. Don't stand alone. Two, three, or four. Don't join your hands, but I want you to form. Either you face one person, or you are three, or you are four. Try and arrange and stand like that. Hear me. I'm telling you. Look at me. I'm telling you. Between now and the end of May, there is in the spirit an opening of a major financial door. I'm telling you. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know what it means. But I want you to promise God that when it happens, you remember the house of God. That you will not be greedy and you will not be selfish. And you won't forget the house of God. Eh? Tell God, Father, I will not forget your house. I will not be greedy. I will not be selfish. I will remember the house of my God. I won't hold back from your house. Now, in the name of Jesus, as you stand with somebody after this vow, I want you to command the release of manifestations of financial doors and breakthroughs between now and the end of May. Some of you, after this prayer, you are going to receive a call. I'm telling you. Some of you, by tomorrow morning, when you go to work, there is an email, a text, a letter that will be delivered to your table. Somebody who said he will never sign that document, he is going to sign it. I said he will sign it, and he won't know what made him sign it. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying, it's going to happen. Now together, corporately, together, we secure the manifestation of financial breakthrough. We command it. Open your mouth. Clap your hands. Declare the manifestation of financial breakthrough between now and the end of the month of May. Secure it. Command it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. From now, from right now. Lift it up. Take it higher. Take it higher. Take it higher. Take it higher. Declare no disappointment. No setback. No diversion. No sabotage. No mockery. No more mockery. No disappointment, no setback, no sabotage, no distraction, no diversion. In the name of Jesus. Now, look at me. The reason why I said don't stand alone. You need one or the Bible says at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I want us to establish this prophecy. So there's something we're going to do again. We'll stand again with two, three, four. This is it. We are going to declare that this time around, there will be no setback. Number two, no delay. Three, no sabotage. Number four, no diversion. Number five, no interference of the forces of darkness. Declare those things right now. No delay. No disappointment, no setback, no sabotage, no diversion. Declare it right now. This time, no delays, no diversion, no setback, no interference, no setback. Declare it by the blood. Use the blood of Jesus. Use the blood. Use the blood. Declare now by the blood of Jesus. This time you will not be disappointed. There will not be delays. You will not be sabotaged. There will be no interference. There will be no diversion. What is yours will not go to another. In the name of Jesus, declare it. Now lift it up. And they called me to tell me. And they said, you have been brought here several times. But whenever we do the thing, it doesn't work. We do the thing, but it doesn't work. Anything they try to do against you, it will not work. And anybody who tried to mess with you, your children, your loved one, your family, it doesn't matter who they are and what they are working with. Let it backfire, backfire, backfire. In the name of Jesus, backfire. Anybody who tried to mess with you, let the blood of Jesus mess with them. Lift up your hands.
Yeah. Okay.
lift up your hands. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
You are the God that answers by fire. You possess the heavens and the earth. Let not men say, where is our God? In the name of your Son Jesus, by the superior blood of Jesus, from the throne room perspective, we call upon the heavens and the earth to bear witness this day that we proclaim by the blood of your Son that there will be no more disappointment, financial sabotage, financial diversion, financial setback, or disappointment, or interference whatsoever anymore, henceforth, in the lives of your people and this nation, in the name of Jesus Christ, no more, in the name of Jesus, no more sabotage, no more restrictions, no more limitation, no more diversion, no more disappointment, no more delays, no more setback, in the name of Jesus, no more, no more. Put your hands together, shout, no more.